Blog Talk Radio.
I remember when I lost my mind. There was something so funny about that place.
All right, we're back. Jeez. Damn. Anyway, how you doing, Scott?
Hey, I'm doing well for a Sunday. Beautiful weather. Had a little bit of a big monsoon, fast-moving storm last night.
Right.
Michigan State beat University of Michigan at the Big House.
Yep. Quarterback was terrible.
Yeah, I think I would have pulled him in the third quarter and tried to back up. But, you know, sometimes you got to stick with your boy. You know what I mean? So.
Yeah, yeah. I was doing a lot of cussing last night.
Uh-oh.
I don't like to lose at the Big House. That's one thing. Anyway.
Yeah, their record's not doing well with Michigan State now in the last 10, 15 years. So.
Yeah, that's true. Yeah. Hey, I've been gone off and on all week. So while I was gone, somebody I met, talked to, worked at General Motors years ago. Well, not years ago. His father worked years ago. And, you know, he was wondering, why is the, you know, back when his father was in General Motors and when he worked at General Motors, it was, you know, everybody's looking at how much, like when his dad worked there, I think it was 33% or 40%. I can't remember what he said now. You know, they own that much of the car market. And that's what they went by. When that thing dipped, you know, there's layoffs and all kinds of things, bad things that happen. He said, now you look where they are now. I said, I know. I don't understand it either. I don't understand it at all. But they don't seem to be concerned with, what, 17%, 18% of the car
right.
Market.
I think you're real close to that. The Wall Street Journal was talking about that here not too long ago. They were talking about the exact same thing that, you know, that you're talking about, and that this fellow's father was talking about. And that thing that Danden talked about was market sales.
Yeah, Dick
and,
always brought it up.
I'm perviewing right now. Year to date, and this was that's nice. Give me a date. That's nice. Oh, Tuesday, October 3rd, 2017. It gives you what's hot off the lot as far as cars, light duty trucks, crossovers, what have you. Small vans and large vans are taking a dip. Mid-size cars taking a 12% dip. Small, 9.3% dip. Luxury brands, 7.9% dip. Large cars, their sales were up. Minivans and small vans, their sales were down. Crossovers were up. Pickup trucks were up. Top selling vehicles, Ford F-Series.
Right.
They have sold, they're up 10%. They've sold 658,636 units year to date. The Silverado pickup truck has sold 418,590. And that's a negative 1.6 dip. The Rams have sold 374,901 vehicles. Toyota has sold 312. Nissan sold 296. Honda Civic's at 284. Camry's at 282. They're definitely, picking up. For some reason, the GM Sierra pickup truck has only sold 154,000 units. They're down 6%.
Right.
So, but I'm trying to think where the market was. General Motors was at, it looks like about 17-18% of the market. Ford is below 16. Chrysler is just above Ford. Toyota is at about 11%, about 9%, and it's Honda. Honda's at about 11% for U.S. markets. So General Motors is leading the pack, but like I said, that's only Ford, General Motors, Chrysler, Toyota, and Honda. Where's the rest of this pie going? Because if you add, add that up, you're looking at the 9-11 is 20, 35. Just those top five there that I mentioned off have only got about 60% of the market.
Right.
So where's the other 40%? You got Volkswagen and Volvo and Hyundai and, you got all sorts of other transplants. So, I don't know. It's interesting to see how it's playing out. Market share. Okay, here we go. Market share for General Motors Corporation on the year to date, they gained 0.1% more. They're at 17. Last year, they were at 16.9. Ford Motor Company. Market share is 14.9. Down from last year at 15.1. Chrysler has year-to-date 12% market share. Toyota has 14.2. Wow. Honda has 9.6. Nissan has 9.3. Hyundai has, looks like 4. Mazda has 1.7. Mitsubishi has 1. Kia has 3.6, Subaru has 3.7, Mercedes-Benz has 2.1, Volvo 0.4, Volkswagen 2.0, Audi has 1.2. I mean, you add all these other, I name all these all off, you add them all up, and I think you get to a 100% pie, you know what I mean?
Yeah, probably.
But...
we got a lot of people on the switchboard, and if you'd like to say anything or join, just push one on your keypad. Lets me know you want on, and if something happens, I blip out. I've already got a little message up here from Blog Talk. They're having trouble. The hosts are having trouble with Skype. So if I blip out, you guys continue on because it's still going on. It's just me. It's the host. Okay?
Right. Hello? Right. Right. Right.
Just jump on it.
We can try to do that.
And then you'll hear some cussing you haven't heard in your life when that happens. It happened last night a little bit, but again, I got back on. So do a little cussing, everything's fine. Little F-bomb
right
here, F-bomb there, get you back online. I believe Brian's with us. Hello, Brian. No, this isn't Brian. I know that number. This is Rebecca Sunnybrook Farm. This is Brian. The kids are here.
What are you about?
No, when you both come up at the same time, I get confused. I'm ignorant. Come on.
Hi, guys.
Hello, Rebecca.
Hello.
Any trouble this week? Did you slap a foreman or something this week, Rebecca?
I don't believe I got in any trouble this week, as far as I'm aware.
Hallelujah. All right. You guys carry on. I'm going to sit back and relax.
Well, there you go. Why do you want to sit back and relax?
There you go.
Well, anyway, so how's everybody doing? Can everybody hear me?
Yeah, say it again.
How are you doing today, Brian?
Not too bad. Was just taking care of some yard work and for the most part. But outside of that, I'm doing good.
Right. Awesome. Rebecca, how are you doing?
I'm hanging in there. You know, I had some health issues last week, but I'm doing okay right now. So I'm trying to survive the relaunch at our plant because I've been transferred from first and second shifts, you know, doing training in this area and different things. So I'm like incredibly confused as to what day and what shift it is right now. So that's why I'm a little late, because I actually fell asleep while I was been online here. I was getting ready for the show and I fell asleep.
Wow.
So, simply just I'm not sure, but it's been going on for 3 weeks. I had like 2 weeks of I had to be retrained for stock, so I'm going back to stock. And then I was in our, I'm calling it immersion training, and I did post a part of my video didn't show, but I got to drive the new Wranglers on a obstacle kind of course thing. It was a lot of fun. But that week is a lot of you know, re-entry, basically. People have been on layoff, so a lot of people are coming back. They're bringing people back to get us ready for the relaunch, which we don't have an exact date, but saying sometime in November, probably.
Right.
So.
Well, very good. Very good.
And I was helping the wife who's been canning salsa all day.
Boy, that's
yum.
This last batch was, it's not for the faint-hearted, so we did jalapenos, Tabasco, habanero, butch scorpion, Trinidad teas.
Ladies and gentlemen, you're now listening to the Betty Crocker Hour, starring Scott Shingledecker. Jeez. Change the name of the show.
I'm going to send you a pint of this stuff. That'll shut you up for a while. Anyway, so, yeah, we're all taking advantage today. And by the way, Don, the gentleman that you talked to, his father was right. In 1961 through about 1975, General Motors held 46% of the car market.
Wow. Yeah.
Yeah. And then Ford held 29% and Chrysler had 10%.
We used to have a big board when where you go in, where I used to go in, there would be a big board right above the stair, and you see where every plant was ranked. Of course, you know, they ranked yours last, and because we had some people from Ohio come over, and they said, hold on, they got us last and you guys first. So they did that kind of thing. But yeah, they had a big market share. And every time it go down, it just seemed like we'd get laid off. I was laid off a lot more, it seemed like, than I worked at the beginning. And I almost broke time. I really did. I got close. But, you know, I worked out. But now you're looking at 17 and 18. I'm going, why isn't anybody raising hell about that? Why aren't they trying to do something about that?
Right.
They don't give a damn. You know, it's just build more vehicles with less people, and our profit keep rolling in.
Right. And that's what Dick was trying to talk about last week. You know, you got Brian and Rebecca, and I mean, everybody involved in these auto markets. We're all getting paid the same. We're getting paid, and the price of the vehicles are going up and up and up. And the only thing that's different is the whistles and bells that we're adding to it. And I understand, you know, leather might cost a little more than cloth seats or whatever. By the way, quick pause. There is going to be they're going to be building a brand new Lear seating facility over by the airport somewhere.
Oh, okay.
And it's gonna create 400 jobs supposedly. It's gonna be a supplier. So as I'm saying is, the people who are getting paid, it doesn't cost any more to make, you know, a premium vehicle than it does, let's say, a work truck. That's compared to a Denali. The only thing that's different is the amenities that are being put on it. I don't know where we're at with, like you said, we're losing more and more people in the workforce. They're wanting the seniority workers gone. They definitely want more temporaries. We're losing more jobs between now and April, and those jobs are not coming back to our facility. They're being outsourced. So we're going back to what we used to do back when, back around 2000 or so, we used to have Android Industries bringing Sequence parts in. So we're going back to that.
Oh, yeah.
So,
didn't work out too good. Let's try it again.
Right. Well, you remember the reason they insourced that was because they said that they couldn't afford the supplier's prices. You know, I'm sure it had something to do with, you know, if you got wrong stuff or if you needed to replace something that was damaged, what do you do then?
Right. And that happened many times.
So they don't care. I that's my opinion. They don't care. And
no,
they're not going along with it. So it's not looking good for us auto workers right now. I mean, I guess if I was a temp, it's looking good. You know, you're going to be. You know, more people are going to be getting offered jobs, but at poverty wages.
Right.
No pension and limited benefits. So it'll be interesting to see how this all plays out here. And it's playing out very quickly, by the way. I don't know what's happening at Rebecca's facility or what's happening in Brian's neck of the woods. I'm sure they're hiring more temporaries, aren't they?
Not with us. We're still at a standstill. They opened another parts distribution down in Romulus. So they took roughly about 85 members from Centerline, and they're sending them down to Romulus. So those were already active workers, so they're not hiring new ones.
Gotcha. And at the Jeep plant, are they hiring more techs?
Right now, about 50 a week is what I'm told. So getting ready for 50 our...
50 a week.
A week, and that's because of the... actually, the other plants are hiring as well. And that's at the training center can only hold so many, so they're divided it up, and it's 50 a plant that you can hire a week to get into the training center for them to be trained. So they expect to be hiring through The end of the year is my understanding. Is at 50, approximately 50 weeks to get us going on our new launch. So.
Okay.
Yes. So we got a lot of new people coming in.
But they're all going to be TPTs, right?
All of them, yes. Yep.
Yeah, I don't think we're going to hire seniority workers anymore.
Well, in saying that, I should say they are going to be transitioning 400 of our current TPTs to full-time status. So they are doing that, and so some of this hiring is to replace those 400 workers so that we don't go lower than what we have, but they'll be hiring additional, so we have some additional ones. So, yeah.
So they're going to transition them to in-progression workers?
Yes.
Okay. Which, again, they'll never be at the pay scale which some of us are at.
Yeah. So. I tried to remind them because it is really quite a shock. When I was part-time, I was up to $21 an hour. And, you know, according to our contract, when you get into full time, then you start over again at that pay scale. So I went from 21, knocked me down to $17 an hour, and it's a nice little chunk to lose and have to start over again.
That happened in our plant. That happened in our plant. They started them all over again. Isn't that beautiful?
Well, like I said, the only thing that stands between us and management when it comes down to negotiations, it's our leadership. And that's the way they negotiated these contracts. And the membership didn't want to read between the lines, and they voted for it.
Right.
So, really, technically, the only one to blame for us going backwards is the membership, because we're the ones that keep allowing this leadership to basically divide us from within and destroy this union from within, because that's exactly what's happening.
Right. What's the famous quote? We have seen the enemy, and the enemy is us. You know, I don't know. What's that?
I said everybody likes those bonuses. It's we are the give it to me now generation, and
right.
Getting it in your paycheck once a week.
With what Brian said about the leadership and the contracts, you know, you have to couple that with recent news and the indictments and stuff is. The legalities of the contract and the terms of the contract look like they have been favored from outside parties and not favoring the workers or the members. And I'm concerned as to how that might play out because we know how these contracts are for everybody. They were pretty well dissected and they didn't do us well. And in light of the information we had, I'm just wondering if anybody's going to look into the outside influence. And I would hope the Department of Labor get involved in this, then the DOJ, as far as the representation of the union to its members. I mean, is that a stretch? I guess that's a question to anybody. Is that a stretch or...
No, I mean, hopefully that's the case. I mean, I ended up filing charges on the union and the company for engaging in bargaining in bad faith. And so right now I'm waiting for the company and the UAW to reply back to the National Labor Relations Board on those things. Because as far as I'm concerned, I got proof of 2007, 2009, and 2011 where the 25% cap was in the highlight books and they didn't honor that language. And I also got proof that they're violating the UAW Constitution. So it's obvious that they're bargaining in bad faith. So, I mean, I don't know what other proof we need besides that, but I don't think the UAW is just going to come out and say we sided and we're rubbing shoulders with management so we can look after ourselves, you know. But
right.
The fact is they are violating the Constitution, and they violated some contract language that we based our ratification vote on.
Right. And you guys actually went out on a short strike for a while. If
who's
I remember
that?
Right. Chrysler.
That was back in 2007. We went on a 4-hour strike. That wasn't even a strike. That was just to make it look like we were fighting for something.
That's right.
Right. The 2015 contract, you guys almost went on strike. Almost. Yeah. I remember that now. They extended talk.
We had one of those.
If you remember, they extended the talks because the UAW wouldn't let us strike, even though they increased our union dues. But they told us that they didn't want to see the big three lose market share because the UAW had GM and Chrysler stock, plus the VIBAs funded by the stock, so they didn't want to see the stock go down.
Yeah.
Right.
So there you go on that.
That's something I'll never understand.
And then after we voted down the first contract, all they did was came back. They switched some words around, switched some money around. And again, they lied and divided the two tier even further by saying we'll bring you all up in 8 years, even though they can only guarantee to bring you up in 4 years. So that's how they got the ratification vote.
That's right. I remember you bringing that up. Absolutely. Wow.
Yeah. Once again, we were lied to.
And by the way, we're going to 8:30 tonight. Keep that in mind.
Okay. Alrighty. That'll work. I missed this. This was yesterday. Wendy Thompson was having a secrets of successful organizing. Maybe she should have invited the UAW leadership down there. I don't know. We did have a shot of good news. I'm going to offer a little bit of sunshine. This article was out yesterday. It is from Missouri. The Missouri Supreme Court ruled Thursday that it would not take up an appeal of a lower court ruling that paved the way for labor unions to place a question on the November 2018 ballot asking whether voters want the new law on the right to work. So what happened was that gives us a little glimmer of hope, at least in Missouri. So at least it's a little good news, right?
Oh, absolutely. I mean, it's a start.
Well, yeah, I think so. And the UAW is talking with Ford Motor Company about a way to avoid layoffs as the automaker is building more electric vehicles. And I don't know if I talked about that last week or not, but General Motors is announcing that by 2023 that they want to be building all electric vehicles.
Is that really even possible? I mean, is that realistic? Is that even possibly?
Sure. I mean, China's even talking about it. So, and I mean, Tesla's done it. So there you go. It's possible.
Well, no, I mean,
right.
I mean, obviously building them, but they're talking about that's all they're going to build is electric vehicles.
Somebody's going to have to build a pickup truck. Somebody's going to have to build a heavy-duty pickup truck. You know what I mean? Somebody's going to have to build vans. Somebody's going to have to build buses. You still need people haulers. There's still people in construction businesses, whether you're driving an F-350 Super Duty or a Chevy 3500 or the Chrysler Big Ram, you know. There's still going to be a need for those vehicles. So I agree with you.
But they're doing it now. They're doing it for military vehicles. They just had a test going over in Port Huron over the Blue Water Bridge. They tested a semi-truck that was autonomous. So I don't see them having – if they can do it for an 18-wheeler military vehicle, I can see them doing it for a pickup just as easy.
Right. But, I mean, I'm talking about battery vehicles. You know, you're still going to have that need for I mean, look at your let's look at it this way. We all live in Michigan, and we get winter, and we have snow. You get Tommy, you're going to make those big county trucks, you're going to make them electric to plow snow. You know what I mean? It doesn't add up. But Ford did announce that they were talking to investors this last Tuesday, and they plan to slash $14 billion in costs over the next 5 years and shift investments away from internal combustion engines and sedans to develop more trucks plus electric and hybrid cars. So the UAW is talking with Ford on ways to avoid the layoff as they, I guess, transition. So, you know, there's something, there might be something heading our way. I don't know. That's scary. That's a scary thought.
Seems a little Jetson for me. I have a hard time conceptualizing that is, I mean, sometime in the future, but to be seemingly so soon, that just is what is surprising to me, I guess.
Right.
Well, the way I look at it is they won't be dependent on any of these OPEC countries for oil, and you won't have to worry about high-speed chases anymore because they'll just shut the vehicle down. So I can see it. I can see them pushing it, and I see them pushing it pretty quick.
Right.
I mean, especially if the government is already pushing it on military vehicles. If they're pushing on military vehicles, I guarantee they're going to push it with the public as well.
Well, bringing up that is just way scary. You know, I mean, it kind of sounds like, oh, that's cool if we could prevent high-speed chases. Well, and then what else are they going to do? I don't want them controlling my car. I'll take care of it myself, thank you. you know, what's it going to be next?
And then your car is going to enter. It's going to intertwine with your phone, and it's going to get all your data, and they're going to have every bit of information that they need. And who knows? In order to start the car, you might need face recognition. You know?
Yeah.
So
we're getting to the Jetsons.
Yeah, that's not something
interesting.
I'm not want that at all.
The NSA, I love it.
Yeah,
they will. General Motors this last week said that they were going to add 20 new battery, electric, and fuel cell vehicles to its global lineup by 2023. And then Ford's presentation to investors under the new CEO, Jim Hackett, included a slide touting a 30% reduction in hours per unit to build EVs, electric vehicles. Fewer hours mean fewer workers. And, you know, we've already heard from General Motors, and you've heard from Daimler that the electric Mercedes models know that they're just half as profitable as conventional alternatives. So what are they going to do? They're going to find the savings by outsourcing more manufacturing. So the Germans are going to have problems with this, just like the Americans are. They're going to be outsourcing more jobs to try to, you know, curtail costs.
Well, think about all the engine plants that are going to shut down.
Absolutely. Well, this is going to impact thousands and thousands of people because the backlash, like we talked about last week, the backlash will be from the plant floor to the suppliers, the grocers, and, I think I said it was 3.4 jobs are attached to each auto worker. It used to be 7 to 10. That's going to have a ripple effect backwards. And on top of that, I try to watch, I don't know about you guys, but I'm telling you right now, I haven't seen a lot of electric vehicles on the road. Have either one of you?
No.
I know where a charging station is. When I've been there, there's one at the Tilly Art Museum. So whenever I've gone down there, it's only been twice that I've seen anything plugged into it.
I've seen a couple of volts on the highway every now and then, and they're going to quit making the volt. So I guess the old saying is that history repeats itself. And with that being said, my point is, if we look no further back than the EV1 and what happened to it was an all-electric vehicle. There's a movie out there about it. We've talked about it before. They killed that program. General Motors was poised to dominate the world market with an all-electric vehicle, and all of a sudden they just pulled the plug on it. And everybody liked it. I mean, Don and I talked about that, not just on this show, but on his Saturday night show, too. I mean, that was pretty big back in the day, wasn't it, Don?
It was, but I don't think the people were ready for it just yet. And I think it's a little bit more different now as technology changes, and I think it's going to be forced on the public this time by the government.
I think it's not just the government because General Motors said that they're going to, build all these electric vehicles and hybrid vehicles by 2023. Ford is talking with the UAW. Settle's met with some people, so that they know it's coming.
But I think it's all based on because China talked about getting rid of the combustion engine. Then you look at Tesla. I mean, Tesla's ahead on the technology as well. So General Motors and Ford and all that want to get their foot in there before it's too late.
Well, I guess that my point is General Motors had their foot in the door. They were leading the whole way. And they pulled the plug on the EV1. And when they did that, Toyota pulled the plug, Ford pulled the plug. Anybody who was developing an electric vehicle at that time, they went bye-bye. And then I think it wasn't but a few years ago, if I remember right, wasn't it Toyota that came back with I think it's the Leaf, L-E-A-F, Leaf?
Yeah, I believe so.
And I see one of those occasionally on the highway, and they are a very small vehicle. It's got like the old skirtings like they used to have in the 60s over the wheels, I think for aerodynamics maybe. But I don't know. If they're going to do this, what's that going to do to the market share for us in the sales of vehicles? I guess I'm concerned as far as where the big three are going to wind up in the next 5 or 6 years.
Well, I don't think the market share is going to be hurt. What I think is going to be hurt is the labor. I think there's going to be less jobs.
Absolutely.
But they'll make a lot of profits off these vehicles. I guarantee it.
Yeah. And like this, the video that you just I'm seeing that you shared with me there that they're racing towards this whole thing, aren't they?
Oh, absolutely. But with them cutting billions of dollars, I wonder how much is going to bring those vehicles down in price, because right now vehicles are overpriced.
Oh, absolutely. Absolutely. I don't know what's going to happen, you know, because, well, like you said, you're not going to need a combustible motor. You're not going to need transmission fluid no longer. You still have moving parts that are going to need to be lubricated, you know, your control arms and stuff like that. But you have electric motors. You'll have suspension parts that will need to be lubricated. But as far as gas, oil, transmission fluid, you're not going to need it. You're going to have electric motor. The only thing you'll need is, like I said, lubrication for moving parts. My question would be, if Brian has to plow out his driveway, are they going to have an electric pickup truck and it's going to hold the battery long enough charge for him to plow out his driveway and still have enough charge left to go to work? I mean, this could be a problem. We know we're not getting that great of range on some of these vehicles. You know, what are you going to do? You're going to make all your parking spots in the factories, the workers that are still left, you're going to put them all at charging stations so they can plug in their all-electric vehicles?
What I'm curious about is how much they're going to charge to charge those vehicles up. Is it going to cost more than filling up your gas tank? Because energy costs, they're pretty high right now.
Well, yeah. And these batteries are not cheap. I understand technology has brought us a long way. And I know they're looking into hydrogen, too. And back in the day, Danger talked about that. They had, a bus in 1968 downtown Detroit that ran on hydrogen. You know?
How do those things do in cold weather?
I don't know. That's what I said. I don't know how these batteries are going to do, like, say, let's say you're in Minnesota, you know, or you get up there in that frickin' coldest point in North America up there in North Dakota, you know, right there across the Canadian border. It gets just so frigidly cold.
Right,
you know,
or Portland, Maine, or Vermont, you know.
Yeah, how these vehicles going to do in 30 below zero? And not just for, you know, a few hours, but for a couple, 3 days at a time. So I know batteries do better when they're kept cool, but I don't know. I don't know if anybody's looking into that, Brian. You asked some really good questions. It's good thoughts. So, we'll see what happens, I guess. I don't know. It's, I think it took a lot of people by surprise.
The bottom line is, it still comes down to jobs and what the UAW is going to do for labor. And, you know, we've been saying this for a long time. We need leadership reform because I believe that these people do not know how to negotiate in a global economy. And with things changing the way they are, it looks like we can lose a ton more jobs.
Oh, yeah. Mm-hmm. Yeah. Yeah. That's what the article of the Automotive News is talking about. They said that said the union and automakers had assembled teams to discuss future jobs, including for production workers and skilled trade workers. Settle said Ford announced in March it was going to invest $200 million on a new data center in Michigan, would create new union represented technology related jobs. He said that we need further communications on what it means in terms of jobs. So it would be very interesting to to see what's going to happen. I don't know. For us that have been around this long enough, it doesn't look good. Let's put it that way. Is that safe to say?
Oh yeah, I would agree with that.
You know, and I think the worst nightmare we would have right now is I think Tesla might be ahead of the curve on all this. And I mean, if we push to an all electric, I would think that Elon Musk and his company Tesla would probably be the forerunner in the automotive market.
Well, I'd like to see Tesla merge with Chrysler, because they need to get in the market and we need the technology. So I think that would be a perfect marriage.
It could be. I don't know. That's interesting. I mean, what all would they gain out of that whole thing?
Well, right now they're having troubles getting into the market.
Right.
I mean, General Motors and Ford, everybody's pushing to keep them out. And Chrysler, I mean, we don't have the technology. So I think that merger would be great, because you already got Marchionne talking about retiring 2019. So my thing is, merge the two, and then he can go on his merry way and do whatever he's going to do, and let this become an American company again.
Amen.
Well, what do you think, Rebecca?
Well, I you know, that's a soapbox I'm not sure you wanted me to get me going on, because I've never been a supporter of how this whole company thing has transpired. You know, I have always said it's like we're a prostitute. They're just passing us around, you know, helping all these foreign countries with their tax breaks and stuff, gifting us away and all the craziness that they've done. I don't work for an American company. You know, do you guys realize that? And, you know, because it's still called Jeep and Chrysler, you know, it's still in the name. People don't think that way, but that's the truth of it. And I think I feel kind of territorial about it in some ways. I think this is our company, and I have many times talked online in our local Facebook pages about, you know, doing something. America should buy back Chrysler if that's what we have to do. And, you know, everybody kind of laughs about it. But, you know, I don't think that it's funny. I think that it needs to be an American company again. I hope that it turns out that way. But every time I, you know, every few weeks, what we're hearing about a different company, and the last one was Hyundai. So I'm like, no, that's the last one I want.
Well, see, that's what scares me. What I'm worried about is Marchionne liquidating this company and selling it piece by piece, and that's very possible. So if you don't find somebody to merge it with by 2019, he could end up piecing this out to China and different automakers, and then would be even left without more jobs outside of with the autonomous vehicles. But if they eliminated Chrysler altogether, imagine what that effect would do to the United States.
Yeah, that's something. Yeah, I'm like, where are the large companies in this country that could get together and do something, and get back this company for America? But that doesn't seem to be any real interest in that, and that's disappointing. But.
It is, but that's why I believe Tesla would make a great marriage.
Yeah, I wouldn't disagree with you. I think you're probably very right on that.
Because really, that's Tesla's way in on this whole thing is to offer a bid with Chrysler and try to get a hold of Chrysler, because that's the way into the market.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. And that's even changing from my understanding. Now, I'm not up on Tesla really, but my husband is a fan, and so he knows a little more. And so he is very, like, you know, they're going to start at, when you purchase a car, I believe to this point still, you get, your charging is free. So, like, when they go by, like I said, there's a charging place down at the Toledo Art Museum that you can charge your car there for free. But he's telling me the last time we talked about it that they're going to start actually having to charge. You're going to get a limited, you know, a couple years worth of free charging, and then you're going to have to start charging. But, you know, I think we have mentioned in the past, and somebody is in the chat room right now that has brought up that there are just a limited number of these charging locations around the country, let alone, you know, in our plants available to any of the cars that we're building or we have built. So there's a lot of work there to be done. How long
well, there
that
is, because
take?
You would have to set up your house to charge these cars. Then you got to look at, can these electric companies be able to power these vehicles and not have a strain on the plants that supply the power, you know, because California has had outages and other states have outages because they just can't keep up with the demand. So that's something we got to look at as well.
Well, as Dick Danjan always said, and he still says it to this day, over 100 years, General Motors still can't build a correct vehicle. How long will it take General Motors to build this thing? Just a question I'm asking.
Well, evidently, they're talking about getting rid of the engine by 2025, so...
Yeah.
Well, I'm dying to know what GM's doing down here in Toledo. That they built onto this plant. It's humongous, and I drive by it, and I'm just like, there's no chatter or anything about why this plant all of a sudden is so big. So it's planting something in there. Maybe it's that electric car. I don't know. But some changes are coming to GM in Toledo pretty soon here.
Scott, I think that's when you would jump in or somebody.
Well, though we see all these changes coming, we do need to focus on the union and what they're going to do for us with these changes coming. And so, I mean... You know, the membership really needs to focus on leadership reform. Otherwise, we could be left out in the cold because by the looks of things, with the UAW agreeing to unionizing contract houses and backfilling the plants with TPTs, and there's no longer equality, they're killing off the middle class from within the union. So we need to focus on leadership reform and how we're going to do this.
Right. I mean,
it's amazing the organization that set out to save and support and build up the middle class is actually the organization that is killing it now. It's
and the proof is in the pudding. I mean, they're violating the UAW Constitution. I mean, it doesn't get no blatant than that.
Well, you know, I've been asking for some training on the Constitution. As we talked last week, I opened my mouth on a break in training session and started talking about the, you know, people educating themselves and really showing up so that we can start talking about the Constitutional Convention. And so many people, Brian, I don't think you were here. So many people just didn't even know what the Constitution is. And so I haven't asked because I certainly have asked before, but I kind of brought it up again about, you know, it'd be really nice to have some kind of training on this Constitution. And what I got was is that nobody's sure who would be qualified to teach it.
Wow.
I said,
Dick Dangin. Call him up. For God's sake.
That's perfect. That's perfect.
He should be teaching classes up there anyway, as far as I'm concerned.
Yeah. Yep.
Absolutely. God. So. And they just, you know, okay, you're retired. Okay. And then that's it. Bullshit. Put him. Hold on. If you know that, my phone started listening and talking to me. What the hell was that about? See, that's what I don't like about this technology crap. It's scaring the hell out of me.
He has way too much experience and knowledge to sit back there in the woods and do his dishes. That's what he said he was doing last week, right?
Right.
When we need him.
He could be at Black Lake teaching classes. Oh, that'd be wonderful. But, hey, that makes sense. Okay? That makes sense, and that's why the UAW will never think of something like that.
Right.
Hey, Dick tells right. the truth. Dick tells the truth, right? They don't want anybody's going to tell the truth and tell it how it is. Just remember that.
Okay. Now, Scott, I know you're in the chat room. There, we have somebody in there who's brought up a point on this. It says the best bet to make them represent the workers. How can you do that? That's what our discussion a lot has been about. How are we going to make them represent the workers? I'm just wondering that from the.
He's got the same point as Brian has said. You know, is the vote to decertify the union, and then, you know, that threatens them. Take away, like you said, their cake, and then they'll do their job. I don't know if they'll do their job if you do that. If you decertify, in my opinion, they win. Then they get to keep all of our money. The process of decertifying from locals to the union as a whole, I think that would take, that's going to take a lot. That's going to take the labor board. It's going to take the National Labor Review Board. There's going to be a lot of stuff involved in this, a lot of money. And I don't know how you bring those, that information to bring charges to would let them decertify the union as a whole. I don't think we can vote on ourselves as members to decertify our own union. Great idea. I agree with it. That would work. Would it get their attention? Sure it would. I would think that these federal indictments would be getting somebody's attention, but I don't think they are.
Hey, Jim, in the chat room, would you hit one and talk to us? Is that okay?
Well, the only, like I said before, the only way of changing this is to organize in front of the Solidarity House, because we need to force leadership reform. You're not going to do it at the Constitution, the UAW Constitutional Convention, and I don't think you're going to do it through the National Labor Relations Board. So it's going to really take the membership to do it.
Yeah, Jim, hit one on your keypad.
What's that?
I was talking to the guy in the chat room.
Yeah. Well,
I was telling him how to get on the air.
Well, he says if you have the Teamsters or another union backing, waiting, is all that needs to happen. If you have another union, I'm waiting. Let's say you want to get rid of the UAW, you want to go to Teamsters or the American Metal Workers Union or whatever other union there is that you want to go to. You have to go through the process then of card recognition again and the whole process of getting like you did the union to get in. If anybody's old enough to remember the movie Norma Rae in the textile workers down south. Anyway, so
okay, so say that happens. Then what happens to to all the resources that the UAW built up?
I think they get to keep them.
Who gets to
keep
them?
I don't think you get to ask for it back. The union.
Well, see, yeah, see, that's – I'd rather have leadership reform within the union than lose all those resources, because that's a lot of resources to lose.
Sure, sure, and
you're
I agree
talking about
you.
The strike,
I think,
the strike fund, you're talking about all that money.
What about the VEBA?
That
what
too.
About the VEBA?
Yeah, you could
get
a
lot
collapse.
Of stuff tied into this. A lot of stuff tied into this.
Yeah, I don't think that's the way to go. I think leadership reform is the way to go. That's the only way to go as far as I'm concerned.
We've got a
well,
caller.
We need to
go ahead. Got a caller. 989, you're on.
Hey, Brian. Hey, Scott and Rebecca, Don, Jim.
Hey, Jimmy.
What I'm
How's it going,
to
Jim?
Say, what I'm trying to say and decertify, we have that right. When you decertify, then you have other unions that come to the membership and offer what they can do for us. You put that hook out there, they're going to suck up, Buttercup, because then they're looking at losing. That's not their house where they're at in Detroit Solidarity House. That is every UAW member's house, not the chosen ones, per se. Now, and I'm going to say that, and I think Rebecca's right. I know a lot about Uncle Dick. What is sad to say is Don is right. All that man ever wanted to do was go to Black Lake and teach. And they chose to blackball him or whatever you say. So now he sits out on the Rifle River doing his thing. I love him dearly. He's bullheaded like anybody else with a lot of knowledge. But, I mean, if you talk about the history that man's got, you know, and that's what I love about you, Brian. You've got the courage to stand out there on Front Street all by yourself, where I chose many times to lay down my sword and let God fight it for me because I believe in Jesus Christ. You did it another way. When I took them buggers on, a lot of people don't understand. When you get fired for 9 years, you lose your children that you have custody for, and you lose your house and everything else, and you got to live in a truck for 6 years, you get beat down.
Yeah.
And now that I'm back to work, I really don't want to fight that road anymore. And a lot of people don't like me for that because, yeah, I know some things. I don't know it all, and none of us are going to know it all. But what I'm saying is if we could get everybody to go to the convention, which is that you don't want to send anybody that's been there before, and I'm going to say this for the simple thing, is because you got many committees that's going to blackball me. Send all new people. They're going to be so spread so thin trying to tell everybody their agenda, we might get something happen. Like when Tucker went out there, they undermined him. He was the one that, if you all remember, one member, one vote all the way to the president. And he was right. If we can vote for the president of the United States, why the hell can't we vote for our own president within our own union?
Damn right.
Yep, agreed.
And, Brian, I mean everything I said about you. You have a lot of courage, my friend, to do what you do.
Well, the way I look at it is I'm already losing, so what am I going to lose by fighting?
By not fighting.
Well, if I don't fight, I'm going to lose no matter what because they're going to continue along with their agenda. If I fight and hopefully wake up some people, hopefully we can turn this around. I mean, but, you know, it's unfortunate the things that you had to go through to stand up for what was right. And, you know, none of us handle things the same way. We all have different tactics. We all go about things different ways. And so I'm very careful on how I'm doing it. But at the same time, it doesn't mean they won't find a way to do me like they did you.
I had this dust cleaned up and I want to clean
up. I'll agree with that. And where you're at, and I threw the preamble in what you were saying about Article 2. If people would read that and then read Article 2, how is it affecting them in their everyday work environment? And then they went to AWS. They talk about quality work life. Bullshit. There is no home quality life because of AWS. And there's so many things that are screwed up with that. I mean,
yeah, Article 2, it talks about to create a uniform system of shorter hours. Alternative work schedules don't do that.
Amen, brother.
Yeah, that's a good point, Brian.
And another thing, Don, and he brought it out, and they keep doing it over and over to us, and then we fall for that freaking signing bonus, is how can you put something in a highlight and it doesn't end up in the contract? Or with us at GM, they voided out all the language in certain paragraphs, but they kept the numbers there. And in essence, we have a living agreement now because they need something. They just fill in the language in that number.
That's right.
Or the fact that they disregarded a skilled trades vote.
Yeah, amen.
Yeah.
Or in my case, in my plant, they said because production shot it down, they let trades cross over and vote on our side, and that went through and they beat us that way.
But the thing is it was Chrysler's negotiators that were taking gifts, and they let off with Chrysler.
And you're going to tell me that's coincidental? Poor shit.
Yeah. And then the fact that the UAW had GM and Chrysler stock, the fact that they raised our union dues, the fact that the Viva's funded by the stock of these companies, and then for them to come back and tell us we can't strike because they don't want the big three to lose market share. Now, that's a slap in the face.
Hear, hear.
I mean, then if they knew this, then why did they increase our union dues?
Well, you know why they increased their union dues, because with the membership is going down. But if you look at the appointees at Solidarity House and their organization fees, and how so many of their retired, whatever you want to call them, clipboarders are now on special assignment from the International. They're bringing them back out of retirement to hear appeals. I'm sure you're all aware of that. I mean, how my grievance and my appeal was heard three different times by three different people that were retired and brought back as to grease the pocket of somebody that did something for us. Plus, they knew what they, you know, well, we know where he'll, on what side of the fence he's going to go.
Right.
When I put my appeals letter in, they didn't even hear my appeals letter. And the National Labor Relations Board wouldn't even do nothing. Even though I had proof that was my protected concerted activity, neither the National Labor Relations Board or the appeals process worked.
Now, I'm going to give you a little bit of advice, and you're going to have to understand what I'm saying. They're going to, when you write a letter to them, don't send two, because then they won't answer the first one. That's a known fact. Okay? All right, now when you send that letter, they have up to a year to answer you. But then when they send their answer to you, you could have as little as 3 days to answer them back, no more than 30. Now, where the heck is the justice there? I mean, twice I got served on a holiday weekend where I had to drive once from Virginia all the way to Detroit, the other time from Traverse City all the way down in a blizzard, to get it there before Thanksgiving. Think about what I'm saying. You got 72 hours to answer, or it's dead.
Yeah, I agree.
It comes FedEx to my house on a Wednesday, Thanksgiving on a Tuesday, and Thanksgiving's the next day, 2 days later. Hello.
Yeah, that's how they do it.
That's bullshit.
By design.
Yeah,
it don't happen by accident. You know as well as every one of you guys know what I'm saying. That does not happen by accident.
No.
You listen, Rebecca?
Yes.
Go ahead,
Beck, it did happen to me. It happened on my union dues, my part-time union dues.
Well, that's right.
So I got that. I had less than 3 days to get that in, and I had to write, my disagreement with them and asked for it to go to the next step. So I had to do all that. And I had to put history in it. So I busted my butt and stayed up all night to do that, to get it in there. But I did make it. Thanks to
overnight. See, I had to drive all the way down from Traverse City to Troy, and then I had to hire a darn off-duty Troy police officer to do, what do you call it, to process it or serve them, because I had to hire a processor.
Wow.
Because they said they were playing the game, well, how do we know you gave it to us at Solidarity House, because they didn't want to sign it. So I hired a processor.
God damn.
You know, and I mean, it got crazy. I mean, hell, the umpire, I now know, I didn't know then that they brought in my hearing. He was retired and actually come out of my plan I originally hired in. I didn't know that shit until way after the fact. And then I had four people from the union side on my umpire staff. Between them four people, I had a little over 6 months seniority on the umpire staff.
Whoa.
Every one of them was new.
God.
You know, and to be totally honest with you, they ruled that I was guilty because the union did not present the police report that found me innocent in a timely manner. They held it for, I don't know, 6 years, I think it was. But think about that. My union held the piece of paper that proved to them that I didn't do what they were claiming I had done for 6.5 years, and then they said, well, no, you failed to do something in a certain time. I can't remember the language they used on it. Full disclosure.
Jesus Christ.
You know, and then I don't know if the judge just had a soft heart, but, you know, he said, well, you didn't fire him properly, so I'll give him his job back, but no seniority or no back pay for 9 years.
No, wow. Back. That's crazy.
And I got back. You know, thank God I got back as a tier one. Christ, I guess they could have actually brought me back as a tier two. So I guess for that, I am grateful.
Yeah. Yeah. No doubt about it.
But I'm the only jerk, you know, that's going to take 5.5 decades to get 30 years. I mean, I hired in there in 76. Here it is, 17. I'm still 10 months short. And I got run over in March by a high-lo, and I'm playing a hell of a time trying to get better with a concussion and a shoulder that's all messed up.
Oh, wow.
So that's where I've been.
Good. You got a concussion and your shoulder's all screwed up?
Don, if I showed you it's a miracle I'm really alive. I mean, I was hit and blown about 18 feet, I'm told now, in the air and landed on the back of my head and stuff, and then hit again. I don't remember the second hit. I believe I was unconscious, but if I showed you the pictures of my body, it's pretty horrific.
Damn. Jeez.
I warn you all, don't take on a 22,000-pound high-lo. You're going to lose.
Yeah.
I'm just damn lucky that I saw the forks come through my feet and I stepped up on the forks. I think that's why I have my feet.
Wow. What the hell was what was the driver doing?
He was hustling because he was 3 minutes from the end of the shift. He was trying to get to a battery rack.
Yeah.
It happened Saturday, the 11th of March.
Wow.
And then you got to let the plant doctor treat you for 30 days who, in essence, she chose to treat me as if I had the flu, believe it or not. But I was hospitalized for the better part of 2 days, taken in an ambulance unconscious.
You mean you went back to work?
Oh, they made me go back to work for, I don't know, I think I worked like 13 days out of that month. I kept throwing up. I couldn't keep no food down. And then they burned the hell out of my vacation banks because every time I asked to go home, they said I had to go home on my vacation. But,
right.
Oh, I couldn't concentrate. I mean, I couldn't think.
No.
I mean, I lost 3 phones and 2 wallets in this time period. So, you know, it's obvious I had an issue going on.
And the shop doctor, and they didn't do it. He didn't do a damn thing about it.
No, she said I went to her and told her a couple issues, and she told me, well, you need to go see your own doctor because you have the flu. But if you go see your own doctor, then you give up your rights for workers' comp. And I don't know, with my head working at maybe a 20% capacity, and I'm going to be honest with you, if it wasn't for Richard Dangin and him yelling at me to keep a log, I wouldn't know what the hell that I did anyway, because now I have to go into the logs and say, okay, I did this on that day. I did this
right.
on that day, but I can't tell you why I did them, but I got them on my computer. So if it wouldn't have been for him, and bless his soul, I've been trying to figure out why he won't call in tonight. I've been listening to your show off and on, and I don't know. So I was hoping to hear from him today.
Yeah, I was hoping he'd call in, but he might be busy. But he, you know,
you never know with him.
No,
you never know with that guy.
He's busy. That's amazing. And what a memory. What's impressive with Dick is he's got a memory.
He blows my mind. He goes, you know, the first time I met Walter was in, what did he tell me, 55 or some shit.
The man's a walking history book. He really is.
Yes, you're right. You're very right.
Very.
And Scott, I hope everything's going good over there. My neighbor's working in that new top secret plant, and from what I hear about that, he's telling me he actually thinks they're gearing that up for the electronic truck.
You think that's what it could be?
The way he's talking, he says, you can't believe the amount of power lines they're putting in that plant. It's either that or he says it's going to be all robots. He is not a union electrician. I will say that. They are all contract electricians that had to sign paperwork with attorneys over some crap.
That's interesting to know.
Yeah, he's been over there for, God, I think he told me going on the second year now. But my plant's had some horrific layoffs. Hell, we're between trades and production now, we're down under, I think we're right around 550 from what I'm hearing, right? When we went from, what was it, 1,500 this time last year? Right now, I'm told there's about 300 production and about 275 trades.
Wow.
Man, this crap. Somebody told me it took 1996 seniority to hold your plant.
That is very, very true. You know, and I'm sitting here with 94 seniority the way they screwed my. I had 77 seniority. I ain't figured that out. And then that shit happened, and I lost 9 years, but now they say I got 94 seniority with 29 years seniority. So I ain't ever figured that part out, and I got a concussion and don't think great anyway. So,
wow.
So if you can explain that one to me on a piece of paper and it not be a piece of toilet paper, I'd like to have that paper.
Wow.
No. I won't be able to.
That one there blows my mind, Don. How can that happen? How can that be?
I don't know. Excuse me. I have a clue. Yeah, I retired at 35 years. I hired in at 70 in 78. So.
Right. So I actually hired in before you.
I know. Boy, they hosed you, man.
I hired in September of 76 at Gear and Axle, and then I came up to Flint, and I got, what was it, June 12th of 95, after they sold Gear and Axle to American Axle. I was a committee man. I stayed till the end of my term in Plant 3, and at that given time, I looked at it, and I figured there was, out of the 290 people I represented in there on day shift, there was only 7 people that could have even voted for me. So I went and asked them, and they had all told me they were going to stay, and I chose to go back into the GM umbrella. I was supposed to go to SPO Miller Road, but Gear and Axle held me for a year, And I came up to Miller Road SDO, did my physical, then they put my ass in the Suburban and carried me over to Metal Fab. And I had no choice.
No, you didn't have a choice. I tried my damnedest to get over to SPO.
Oh, you and me both. All my friends were there. So this is a gravy. I ran 12 bumpers an hour. Ride a pedal bike to the bathroom.
Yeah, yeah. Hell, I almost turned gay. I heard they had a couple of gay foremans. I was about ready to turn gay.
I wasn't that desperate.
Oh, I was desperate. I lived down the street. Desperate.
You know, hell, I wouldn't get into Sergio's area for nothing. Sorry about that, Brian, but that's the way I feel about that.
Oh, man.
Oh,
that was good. Wow.
Yeah.
You haven't had much fun in a while.
I'm glad to hear y'all laugh. I listen to you guys a lot. I just sit back with my mouthpiece shut off because, like I said, sometimes it just, I don't know. It just, and the loss of Teresa Dodge, you know, even though I was one of the biggest gripers of the copy and paste queen, you know what? We lost the history book right there, my friends. We lost the history book.
He was.
Nobody could post the way she posts that I've seen yet.
No, no. She would look things up. She did research like nobody else. That's the truth. She didn't like me.
I mean, she would post something. There'd be 15 links going every different way. So when you got done, you could see it from every corner, every play outside of that picture.
That's right. That's true. Yeah, that's a fact. Yeah, she didn't like me at the end, but she was one hell of a, she could post, and she took a lot of heat for doing it. She kept doing it. She didn't care what people said.
Oh, no, she called me right at the end and asked me if I buy you a Coney dog, would you get me a copy of the National Agreement? So we met over at Leo's Coney there in Flint, and I gave it to her, and she goes, well, I'll pay your bill. I looked at her and said, oh, you will. So I paid her bill. I mean, oh my God, she had a cup of coffee and a half of a Coney. You know? She was a harmless old girl if you ever met her. She was a damn good woman. I'll never say a bad thing about her.
I remember when I met her at the plant, she came down and introduced herself. And I said, you are the paste queen of the internet? He said, yeah, I sure am. I said, okay. Okay. And we kind of hooked up after that, but and then somehow it's a long story. I'll explain it off here sometime. I mean,
we don't have to go there. We don't have to talk about her because we all miss her.
Oh, no, no, it's not about her.
Remember, she was.
It's not about her at all. She's fine.
That's right. She was one great UAW member.
She was one shocked person. When I heard she died, I think, Scott, you told me. You called me and told me. I seen it that morning on TV, and I was shocked.
Yeah, that's where I seen it. I'm like, what the hell? Because me and her had just met. God, it was like 2 weeks before that I gave her my copy of the International, and she wanted a copy of the Constitution, so I gave it to her. God only knows what the hell she wanted it for, because, you know, she wasn't in the plant.
No, she'd tear that thing apart, that's for sure. She scared a lot of...
word by word.
She did. She scared a lot of committees. They didn't want nothing to do with her because she knew more than they did. And she rung them through the merry-go-round, boy. She just ripped them up and down. And that was beautiful to see. She did it like a surgeon. You know, something like you'd see... You can imagine Dick Dangin doing it to a committee man, just slicing and dicing without even...
I had the pleasure to see him do that to labor reps, and oh, my God, I mean, how can you represent two guys that, say, per se, stole a piece of machinery, got in a chase down the highway by security, security ran him into a telephone pole, and the man got him off with pay, because he used security as using a vehicle as a weapon. They never lost a moment of pay. That's the God's honest truth about that, man. I ain't never figured out how the hell he did it, but he did.
Yeah, but he knows how to do those things, and that's why they don't want nothing to do with Dick Vanjin, because he's good and let that crap slide. He does take
care. And like I said, I know for a fact all the man ever wanted to do was to go to Black Lake and teach, and he would have been, in my humble opinion, probably the best teacher Black Lake has ever had.
I agree. Yeah,
well, I'm going to get off here because I'm getting a hell of a headache, Don, and all you folks, Scott, Brian, Rebecca, I've never really met you before, and this is the first time to my memory that we've talked. I'll come back off and on, and I want you guys to keep up the good work. Brian, I'm going to continue trying to push Article 2 on the web pages. I know Leroy's not happy with me, but I'm not losing no freaking sleep over that. You know what I mean?
You didn't know.
So with that, I wish you all a fair night. God bless you all. Keep up the humble fight. I know the workers are worth it, Don. Thank you.
Yes, sir. Hey, thank you.
All right, brother. Have a good one.
You come back
in. Take care.
Yeah.
I will.
Okay, buddy. You take care of yourself. That's Jimmy Mattis. He's one of the fine guys at Metal Fab. He's been through a lot. I sure didn't know he was injured. That's tough. I'm sorry to hear that.
Nor did I.
And hopefully, boy, those concussions can last and last and last. I don't envy anybody who has a concussion.
No. You know,
I can screw
real
you
quick.
Up. Go ahead. You got 2 minutes and 35 seconds.
All right. Two things real quick. What he was talking about, while we were having a conversation, I looked at it real quick. The platform that General Motors is using is called SURF. It stands for Silent Utility Rover Universal Superstructure. And it uses two electric drive units and General Motors Generation 2 hydrogen fuel cell system that's capable of more than 400 miles of range. SURF will make its public debut at the fall meeting of the Association of the United States Army on October 9th. The Army is currently testing a hydrogen-powered Chevrolet Colorado pickup truck known as the ZH2, and it is in discussion with GM to evaluate service in the future. So there's something
there
what he's talking about.
Jimmy brought it out.
Also, Warren Buffett, by the way, acquired the Pilot Flying J truck stop.
Yeah, he just bought that, too, from the governor of Tennessee. His family sold it. Yeah.
Interesting.
Yeah.
So,
it's all getting interesting.
So, it's, I don't know. I don't know how life's going to change and what the price of these vehicles are going to be. It's definitely going to impact hundreds of thousands of workers. Hundreds of thousands of workers. And millions of people.
Goodbye, middle class.
Yeah. So,
How's Marty doing? Anybody know? How's Marty doing? Rebecca?
I don't know. I was hoping that maybe somebody, I didn't know if I could ask her. I don't know.
What do you mean you don't know if you can ask?
I should ask on the air, I should say. I didn't know if I should ask on the air or not, but yeah.
Well, I hope
I haven't talked to him this week, so I'm not sure.
Okay. Yeah. All right. Well, on behalf, anybody got anything else? Want to announce anything?
Nope.
All right. On behalf of Scott, Rebecca from Ohio, and our favorite Break Down the Walls friend of ours is Brian. On behalf of all three, thank you very much for joining us. Jimmy, thank you for joining us. Please join anytime. Good night, everybody.
Good night.
Sweetheart, good night. Do, 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 do. Good night, sweetheart. Well, that's enough of that singing. You'll sign me up to a deck of record contract. Good night, everybody.
Good night.